This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. And through a variety of programs, from treatment to housing to employment assistance, Joseph House and Over the Rhine helps veterans suffering from addiction with the goal of boosting their long-term success. And joining us to discuss serving the needs of veterans suffering from addiction are Joseph House Executive Director Nate Pelletier and Associate Director Mark Levine. And you can join us 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Mark and Nate, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Nate, start us off by telling us a little bit more about the mission and how your organization does its work.
Yeah, so it's been evolving over the last 20 years. We came into existence in 1994. The main reason was the real issues we had with a lot of the Vietnam veterans and homelessness. Over the kind of to shorten the story, the 20 years is we provided homeless transitional housing, but really what we found that we are providing value to our veterans and to our community was the treatment aspect. So really in the last, I'd say, 3 to 4 years, we've really been building up our treatment program, and Mark has been the center core of developing that for us. And for us, what we want to do is take all the veterans that we have in our region or even outside of our region that are suffering from addiction and to provide them the treatment they need and the housing support and the sustainability to be able to live an independent lifestyle on their own and give back to the society. And that's what we do every day. So.
Mark, the challenge these veterans face, I mean, what are they going through?
Everything. When they get to us, so we're dealing with people that are homeless. And so by the time you've become homeless because of your addiction, you have exhausted all of your resources. Your family and your friends, nobody wants you to stay there anymore. You've lost your job. You really are down to almost nothing. And so they're challenged with medical needs, dental needs, financial needs, and just the emotional crisis that addiction always causes.
Yeah. How does the trauma that a veteran can experience, whether it be combat-related or non-combat-related, how does that trauma affect them, especially when it comes to addiction?
Oh, well, that's a great question, because the trauma is a major part of the addictive process. And so somebody who has been exposed to trauma, and I'm glad that you said non-combat and combat, because we get both. And so a lot of our guys have experienced some kind of trauma even before they maybe went off to war, and then those people are more susceptible to developing a second trauma when that occurs. So then they get into Iraq or Afghanistan and be exposed to the situations that are there. It aggravates then the already pre-existing problems that they've had in the brain. So the trauma, we know, literally changes the brain, and it changes the way they process information and the way they see things. And so it has a major impact on the development of addiction.
Yeah. So it's easier, I guess, in layman's terms, it's easier for them to become addicted.
Absolutely. So you've had some kind of trauma that changes the way you see the world, and everything becomes a crisis. It becomes much more difficult to deal with normal day-to-day activities. And so oftentimes people will turn to drugs as for sometimes it's just pain relief that later turns into something that becomes addictive, but also it's a way of dealing with problems. It's hard for a lot of guys to come home and then acknowledge that they're having difficulties and emotional difficulties. Men don't like talking about their feelings. And so it becomes easier just to find a quick fix.
And is it difficult too, because they're used to talking to other people in the military, other vets, so it's a little bit tough for them to talk to a non-vet?
It can be. Certainly that's true.
And Nate, is one of the other difficulties too that the vets face, that they live in such a regimented environment. You were in the military, if I understand correctly. It's a disciplined environment. Everything's by the clock, and you get used to living in that pattern, in that order, and then you come out into civilian life, and wow. It's tough to adjust to.
I mean, you're absolutely right. And if you look at our customer base at Joseph House, we have we're seeing a lot of new veterans come in. We have a lot of older ones that are here. And as Mark sort of alluded to them, they've been on the street. They really have exhausted their resources, and they're looking for any sustainability. But for the new veterans that are coming in, they are, their last greatest memory, I'd say, was what they did in the service. And the things that allowed them to succeed was to have that structure around them. For many reasons, that's why they went in the service to begin with. And then as they get out, you know, sometimes there isn't that structure there or there's someone to provide that for them and they fall. When they're in our program, we try to reestablish that. So there's a level of accountability. There's they have chores. They have to keep things clean. They operate like they're working in a military environment while the clinicians are starting to work and leverage those qualities and those skills that they developed in military as well as their other skills to help overcome a lot of their other challenges. And of course, a lot of the clinical work that surrounds that as well. But it's important to provide an environment that they're familiar with and provides them a safe place and one that reminds them of when they're at their best. So that's exactly right. We're the only organization, at least in the region, maybe even the country, that does what we do, but is also veteran-led. So, you know, we have myself, and we've had historically had veterans who've been our employees. We have a female veteran who is our was a Marine, who's our counselor, one of our counselors. So that familiarity, even when their clinical process, is there as well. And I think that builds the trust that they need to rebuild their lives.
And so, but you're seeing more and more new veterans coming in. So you're seeing a definite shift in the client demographic.
There's no question. Yeah. I've been working there for almost 12 years. And when I first started working, it was mostly veterans in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. And the problem was mostly alcohol and crack cocaine. And I would say probably 50% of who we get today are people who have heroin and opiate problems, and so much younger population.
It's also important to understand and to really, I think we are seeing obviously a huge and unfortunate increase in the amount of opiate users, and even more unfortunate, our region tends to be one of the hottest areas where we're seeing a lot of opiate overdoses. And so what is important for us to know, and from a community when it comes to addiction, whether you're treating veterans or non-veterans, is that what we're dealing with is whether it's – and this is what I learned from Mark and from the clinicians, is that treating the addiction is the same process. And we must be very clear that, you know, we're dealing with an opiate epidemic, but we're still seeing the alcoholics. We're still seeing the folks that are suffering, and that we need to provide value, I think, to all of those out there. And for us, what we believe is, yes, we provide transitional housing. But our core isn't about homelessness. Our core is about treating the root causes that are leading to their homelessness. And that's what we see out in the street is folks that are holding signs. It's not that they're homeless. It's that most of them have mental illness or addiction issues that are driving them to street to use. And that's why it's so important for this community to realize how we need to amplify quality treatment. Detox is part of that as well. It's not just about taking people off the street and throwing them into an apartment and saying now they're housed. That's part of our core mission is about the treating the root causes, the acute care needs. And we know long term, if we're able to do that, they'll maintain sustainable living and housing on their own.
So how often do you have veterans who've been through the program? How much peer-to-peer is going on? How often do you have veterans who've been through the program come back to help other veterans? Is that something that you see happening?
I'll turn it to Mark on this, but what I will say for our programs to really be effective is what we want is those that graduate our program to come back and mentor those. It's kind of a push and pull system, and they take a lot of pride. We're starting to see that, but the value in that is tremendous. And you know, Mark's been at this for a long time, and has seen clients come and go, come back and support, and some even been hired before. So.
I think one of the things you're talking about, what you said before, Mark, is that the guys that come to our program, they like it so much because they're veterans. And so they may have been out in the world and not known how to relate to everybody else. But when they come to us and they can talk to other veterans, it makes a big impact for them. And so then when guys graduate and they've been successful and they'll come back, and sometimes I'll have a formal panel discussion and actually do a program where I'm bringing people back to talk about it. And sometimes they just come back just to hang out or assist. So we've got guys that will come back and volunteer just to work the front desk and help out or cook for holidays. And just like opening day is a holiday at Joseph House. And so we had former clients that came by and helped to cook.
Part of the recovery too. Yeah, it's part of their sustainable recovery is to continue to be involved.
Absolutely.
And have a connection to where they got well. And Mark and his team do a great job integrating our, we call them our alumni, into the program. So.
What about the families of these veterans? How involved are they in terms of helping with the treatment, or even they may even need some counseling themselves?
The family is obviously a huge part of it. The struggle and the challenge that you have is, by the time, again, they get to us, their families oftentimes don't want to have a whole lot to do with them. We understand, however, that if the families aren't involved, the long-term success is not nearly as good. So we do encourage people to bring their families in for individual therapy sessions so they can actually learn about addiction and understand what's going on. And so that the family begins to recognize maybe that the loved one is not just doing all these things on purpose to irritate them, that they have an illness that they are struggling with. And so we educate them on exactly what addiction is all about and how it affects the brain. It's not a moral choice to go out and use it. I mean, the hallmark of addiction is continuing the behavior despite the knowledge of harmful consequences. It's a loss of control. And so we teach that to the family members, as well as trying to pull them in to understand how sometimes their signals that they give off are detrimental to the healing. Because sometimes you find that when a person goes into recovery and the parent, girlfriend, spouse, whoever continues the same behavior, expecting them to act the way they used to, causes all sorts of friction. And so if everybody's not on the same page, even though somebody might be in recovery and sober, things can actually be worse at home. So it's real important to get the family involved.
How do veterans find their way into the program?
Many different ways. I'll mention that, and then I want to build kind of Mark's talking about the process and the tactics and our strategy behind it. But how they get to us, many of it, we have walk-ins that come in, but our main referrals are obviously through the VA medical system and other
courts.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes other partner agencies, you know, we make sure that we have a good relationship with our other social service agencies to know, like, okay, if they need clinical treatment, and Joseph House is the place to go. If they're veterans, they'll come to us first. So we get referrals. We've built an online platform because we know particularly our younger veterans are connecting, and their families are looking for help that way. So you can find us on, josephhouse.com, and you'll see that we have active engagement in social media now to be able to reach our clientele. You know, I want to talk to you, Mark, Mark is the architect of our clinical program, and there isn't anything, I think, close to it that I've been able to find around the country, and I'll tell you why. And as he talks, the process is, particularly as opiates, and I've been following kind of nationwide the experts and what they're saying, it's a slow, smooth as fast process. And right now what we see a lot is we want to get people in 30 days and get them sober, and then we let them go. But we don't realize, and what Mark has built into the program, the strategy, is that we have to rebuild their entire lives. And that's, you know, what is it like to get up in the morning and go to work? What's it like to make, you know, your bed in the morning? What's all the basic things? You know, how do you maintain, pay your bills? And all those things are foreign to people that have been reliant on a substance for so long. And we offer that through the program. And Mark's, I think, had, you know, introduced that, well, we need a program that has a really robust, get them well, a lot of 12-step modeling, a lot of mindful-based relapse prevention, all of Mark's, I think, innovations to really get them into sobriety. But then we have a very unique outpatient program, which he and his team have designed, where it's slowly integrating you into the community, having exposure to the kind of interdependence of other things in life, bringing your family in, but still having the security and safe zone at Joseph House. And we sort of, it's like a pilot, see how they do. And the outpatient program allows them to process what real life looks like still within our support system. We know by the, you know, maybe 6-8 months, maybe up to 12, by that point, they're going to be much more prepared to go on their own, and we won't see them back. That's part of the idea, is the how many clients are we seeing back in the program. I'd rather have 3 graduate our program and never come back versus have 8 graduate our program and see 7 come back next year.
Unless they come back to mentor, right?
Right,
exactly. But that's the thing we need to know, is the slow, smooth as fast process. And data, and also the experts today around opiates, saying that we need to have treatment programs that have a longer, more engaged process. Well, I like to believe that we're already ahead of the curve. And we're ready to serve and support this community. So.
Well, certainly when it comes to the treatment of opiates, I think you need long-term treatment. This is a very powerful drug. The cravings that occur from heroin are unlike that things that we've seen before. And so you can't just do what used to happen. Insurance companies dictated 21 days or 30 days and just some arbitrary time and just assume that when that calendar hits that day that, okay, everything is fine. And so you do need some long-term support. It's very helpful that we have – our program is structured so we have 3 months of a relatively highly structured part of the program where people are going to individual therapy, group therapy, education classes. Nate mentioned we do a mindfulness-based relapse prevention curriculum as well. We do art therapy. We have a relationship with a stable in Northern Kentucky, and we do equine-assisted treatment. We do mindful yoga. We do all these things to try to help the veteran get their whole mind and body into recovery. And then they phase up and they go to work and they come back into this sober living environment, into recovery place. So when they first start going to work, it's not just like, okay, I've arrived now and everything is fine because I've gone to work, but they're able to deal with some of the other problems that come up. We continue to have groups that meet twice a week where they talk about specific issues. One of them being, you know, am I working too much, trying to recover everything too fast? How do I deal with stress now that I'm back out in the work field? And so all these kinds of things are important. And if you don't add all that into it, that's a much higher rate of relapse.
Nate, do you feel like the military should do more before vets leave the service to get them prepared for going back into civilian life?
You know, I'm glad you asked that, and that's a kind of higher order question. And I'll pull this out there. This was when I left Procter & Gamble, that was actually my mission. I spent a year really trying to figure out how to improve the transition system from leaving the service to integrating to society. Our pilot program and what has turned into, I think, one of the first in the country is the Tri-State Veteran Community Alliance, which is right here in Cincinnati, which is a And to answer your question, what I think is a shared responsibility between the Department of Defense, the VA, and the communities. And what we want is we call it the TVCA, Tri-State Veteran Community Alliance. It's basically a regional hub for all the services that are there that are organized to meet the needs of veterans. What it allows is that veteran who's maybe coming out, getting ready to transition out of the military, if they're coming to our region, it's a one-stop shop to come in and we can build a plan. So it's just like if you're going from one base to another. Well, we want to, you know, out-process you from one base, which being is the military, in-process you into the community. So, and they do that there. So we cover all their bases and challenges, put a support network around them and find out what their needs and develop a plan. What happens is many veterans will get out, or many transitioning, you know, new veterans are getting out of the service. They enter the community and it's just, there's thousands of organizations all wanting to help and it's confusing and they don't know how to navigate that. And they get frustrated and sometimes depressed by the process. And when there's too many solutions, you choose none. So I think what it is that we've built that pipeline into here, at least in this region, has been very, very successful. Served over 800 veterans in the first since we've been in existence since 2014, and their families. And I mean serve with real results, not just they walked in the door and signed a piece of paper saying they're there. And our VA is really starting to step up too, because the Tri-State Veteran Community Alliance owns the community partnership with our local hospital, VA hospital, to better integrate the care and connectivity with our hospital and our VA systems with the needs of the veterans. And Joseph House happens to be one of those organizations that's underneath that for veterans that are in emergency need that maybe are at risk of homelessness or have suffered, maybe they were kicked out of the service or discharged because of usage or whatnot. They know that, hey, we're going to send them to Joseph House right away before they fall on their, you know, on the ground to rock bottom on the streets. So it's an integrated process that is very, very feasible, and I hope is generated and replicated across the country. So,
how effective would you say the Joseph House event, the approach that the Joseph House is taking, how effective?
It's, you know, it's taking time. We actually, it's definitely effective because we're seeing, you know, our folks, they go and they're not coming back as much. But when we first launched this, we call it our pilot of this program that Mark and this team have designed, it was right on the cusp of the opiate epidemic, and we weren't quite seeing the impact. We had designed it based on our current clientele, and what Mark had said is the folks that they're older veterans that have been around a long time with different needs. And then we started to see this influx of younger veterans who've reduced our age. You know, I would say Mark could probably come to their number. We're sort of like mid-30s is our sort of our age target. Mm-hmm. Before that, it was late 40s, 50s almost on average, and they have different needs. We're learning and trying to adjust to that and to our program to try to catch up. We need another year to really see how effective we are in that space, particularly dealing with opiates. But the data and what is reporting for the need for treatment, we're definitely falling in line with that, with the level of regimen, a process, and the length of time that needs to be the program needs to be to have an effective outcome. One thing I'd like to mention, too, is that there's a lot of politics around addicts right now. And you have people either politically on one side saying it's just a disease, and you have others in there that say it's a consequence of bad behavior in life.
It's a choice. It's right.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
And what we're learning, and Mark and I wanted to sit with Mark to get his perspective, and I think I feel comfortable because if he and I are aligned, then we both probably are right. And it's neither one is right and neither one is wrong. You're going to see people that have come from the reason for why their addiction could be, pain management and things went wrong, no choice of their own. They got addicted. Now, other people, maybe they've had bad circumstances in their upbringing and just unfortunate, chose some, a bad path, went down the wrong path and ended up addicted. The issue though, Mark, is they're all addicted. And at that point, it becomes a disease. And no matter how they got there, we don't have time to determine who's at fault for it or not, because once they're addicted, we have to be there to treat them, because if we don't treat them, it's going to suffer for the whole society, and we want to make sure that we play our part to fix that. So,
Mark and Nate, thank you so much for being here this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Mark. For having us.
Joseph House Executive Director Nate Pelletier and Associate Director Mark Levine.